Welcome back to CWS Christian Writing and Speaking. I'm your host, Jackie Wilson, and we have had the honor of talking with author Tim Bauer. He has given us his testimony of how God brought him to himself so that he could serve him in a mighty way. Now, in this episode, we're going to dig a little further into his life because we are talking about his books. Two of his books include The Resurrected Bride and Walking in the Light. So let's hear from Tim about his book. So Tim, tell us about The Resurrected Bride. You say this is the book. This is the book about your life, your wife's life, and what God has done. So tell the people about it so they can know and be encouraged by it.
Oh man, Jackie, what a journey I've been on, as I told you earlier. I tell you, so I have to start out by saying, first of all, I had 5 years of college at three different universities, and I never wrote a major paper, which probably attributes to why I never graduated, you know? So, like I said, I was living for the devil back then, and I was running from God, but never wrote a major paper, never. And so something happened in my life, though, that changed everything. So this is what happened. My wife, who at the age of 44, so on January 19, 2004, she had a major stroke. It was middle of the night. We wake up, you know, shoots up in bed. She had a stiff neck for 2 weeks. And, you know, who doesn't have an occasional stiff neck? But this was getting worse and worse. And she finally, I remember it was a Sunday afternoon, and she was crying a lot. It's like, Shelly, we have to, her name is Shelly, we have to go. I'm ready to take you to emergency or something. And she said, no, wait till tomorrow. I'll call the doctor. Tomorrow never came. What happened in the middle of the night, she had that stroke. She shoots up in bed, and she said something, and, you know, I was sound asleep. I said, what? And she said in a real slurred speech, I'm dizzy. And I said, wait a minute. I was trying to figure out what's going on, you know? And I had to lift her up literally and take her into the bathroom. And then I brought her back. And when I set her in the bed, she looked at me, and her eyes rolled back in her head, and she went right back in the bed. I thought,
oh, no.
So I called the emergency to come, 911, and ambulance came and took her away. And then the next couple of days, we were going through a lot of trying to figure out at the hospital. They were saying, you know, she's young. It looks like she had a stroke, but they weren't sure. And at one point, they went in and they were doing a CAT scan, and they said she had a lot of pressure in her brain. Well, what happened? The stroke, she had a blood clot was thrown in the back of her neck. And she had a condition where it's like, I would say, like water running between the wall and wallpaper, and it was blood had run up between that, and it was hereditary, by the way, and nobody had ever heard of it.
Wow.
And it threw a blood clot, and so so next thing we know, they're saying, listen, we got to get her in right away, and we have got to do an emergency craniotomy on her to find out, you know, to try to bring down the swelling. And they ended up going in there and removed a lot of brain tissue. So I'll never forget the neurosurgeon, this little soft-spoken guy, but he says, you know, he's getting ready. They had already gone in there to do this emergency craniotomy. They cauterized the artery that threw the blood clot. And so he said, he was told a quick family meeting, you know, my immediate kids and then my wife's side. And they said, you know, he literally said to me, you know, she's young and I'd like to try to save her life if you want me to. If you want me to. Yeah. But he said, but I believe she's too far gone already. And I said,
oh,
yes,
wow.
I want you to. So I said, yes. So I had to sign the papers, you know, and you go in there. And we had to, he basically said, go say goodbye to your wife and your mother and your daughter, whatever, because she's probably not going to make it, you know. So I'll never forget, Jackie. We walk into this small room, dimly lit room. It was brain surgery. There was, I don't even know how many people. I'll say from now, I'm looking at it, I remember it was like maybe up to 10 people. I don't know. A lot of them. And they all had, you know, they all had their, which we all know now, the face mask on. So I could see their eyes. And here's this young family coming in there. My wife's laying on her back. They had, like I said, they cauterized the artery already. My daughter was in nursing school, so she saw stuff that I didn't even recognize at the time. Her blood pressure was going down. Fluid was draining out of the back of her head because they'd already, you know, cut it open and they were getting ready to take her in. And And so, but I looked, I was there with my youngest daughter at the time, except our little daughter, Anna, she was just a baby. We just gotten back from China, you know, 3 months earlier and adopted her. She was home with my mom and dad, but I'm walking in there and I said stuff to Shelly and everybody, of course, is crying. And I looked and all these people, I remember looking up at them and I could see their eyes and they all had tears. You know, they're crying. I thought for a second there, I thought, you know, you people, what a tough job, you know? I mean, you're in here, you see people die sometimes, you know? So then anyway, we all went through the line saying stuff to Shelly. We get out, and I'm telling you, you should have heard that prayer meeting. My children begging God, please don't take my mother. I mean, oh man, I'll never forget that. So now at this time now in between, people are finding out from our town. I said, my wife had influenced a lot of people being a parent educator, helping these young pregnant teens through the public school. Just a great witness and testimony to many people. There are people coming to the hospital. They're piling in. And I remember being at one time, I'm off to the side and I'm thinking, Lord, what am I going to do? My children, my oldest was in nursing school. I got a mortgage, you know, what am I going to do if she passes away? And I remember saying to the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't handle this. I can't think about this right now. And then God spoke. I had about 6 weeks before, I was a draftsman for years. I was in tool and die, and I'm on my way to work. And I live in the country, so I'm just driving the back roads. And I just said, good morning, Lord. And he spoke to me, and I heard crystal clear. I heard, I'll be with you every step of the way. And I thought, Lord, I have no idea what you're talking about, but thank you, you know. And I'm 6 weeks ahead. Here we are going through all of this. I'm off the side. And he spoke to me, and he said, remember, I said I'd be with you every step of the way. When he said that, Jackie, I'm telling you, it was like a wind, just like a wind, whoo, right through me. And instantly all the anxiety, the fear, everything was gone. And I had the peace of God that passes understanding. I mean, it filled me. And I knew that she was going to live. I knew it. And so, you know, it was like, and I didn't go tell anything to anybody else for a while, because I thought, man, when God shows up, remember when Joshua would hang out in the tent of meeting a little bit longer, you know, it says, yeah. It's like, I don't know about you, but I'm telling you, when God's presence shows up, I want to hang out here, you know, for a while. I don't want to be with a lot of people or anything. So man, I'm just praising God. And then I started thinking, I remember saying, oh man, Lord, they're never going to believe this, you know? So I went over and told people, a lot of them were like, well, that's good, positive thinking. It's like, no, I'm telling you, I heard from God. So I got the no longer dreaded phone call, you know, that Mr. Bauer, you know, go up there. It's like, yes. Well, we just got a surgery and she made it. You know, I remember this, it was the assistant. I'm thinking, yeah, she did, because I just heard from God, you know.
Yes.
So she ends up, they come out, they tell him, he started saying, well, you know, I've never had anybody go this far before. I mean, we had a big crowd there, you know, he's talking and wake up, let alone live, he says. But she's probably not going to make it. She's probably going to be in a vegetable state. Man, I'm telling you, when he said that, Jackie was like, I don't want to hear anymore, because I heard from God. And it doesn't matter. I appreciate your expertise, but that's not what God said, you know? So I went with what God said. And so anyway, she lives. Now she's in ICU. I'm sitting in this ICU room, trying to sleep in a chair that's a lot less comfortable than this one, you know? And it's the middle of the night. I hadn't got sleep for 2 days. My kids are saying, Dad, you got to get some sleep. There's not a white spot left in your eye, you know?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, I'm sitting there. My wife's got tubes running all in. She had brain surgery, you know. And I heard the Lord say again to me, he says, you're going to write a book about this. I'm like, I'm going to what? You know, I said, oh, okay, Lord. You know, so I began to do was write down things. And so I wouldn't forget the details.
Mm-hmm.
And it was about a year later that, man, I mean, Jackie, it was like, I remember that day. It was like the Holy Spirit said, okay, now start to write. Like, okay, here we go. You know, this is the guy who never wrote a major paper, you know, in 5 years of college at 3 different universities, you know? So I thought, here I go. So I began to write. And, oh, by the way, before I talk about that writing, one more thing. The last time we saw the neurosurgeon, we go in before this guy. Again, I say, he's a real soft-spoken guy, you know, and I can see him behind his desk, and he's telling my wife, go like this and like this, because it had affected the cerebellum, right? That's your balance and all that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
One of her sides came in, I think it was left, but it mainly, so her right, it was really shaky, you know, it'd come in, and then the more she did, it got better and a little bit better. And he goes, he's looked there, he goes, wow. You know, he's all surprised. He takes me over the side then. He starts popping all these x-rays. He'd done a scan on her brain, you know? And it's like, being a draftsman, I'd say it's a plan view, but it's like looking down the top of your head. And he says, see all these white dots on here? I said, yeah. He goes, those are stroke cells. They're dead cells. Mm. And he looks at me and he every time he's popping them, he's going, hmm. I mean, he keeps saying, hmm. And I'm thinking, I don't know what he's saying, you know?
Can't figure it out.
Yeah. Jackie, he looks at me. He says, you see this back in her brain, the back of the head, you know? He says, I'm telling you, I took out a lot of tissue from her brain. He says, there should be a pocket back there. He says, there's nothing. It's all filled in.
Wow.
That's a praise God. And, you know, so I said something along the line of praise God or that's God. I don't remember what I said exactly, you know, but he told my wife, he said, the last thing he said when we saw him was, you know, as in what I do, you have good days and you have bad days. And he started crying. And so did my wife, of course. We all did, you know. And he says, Shelly, you were a good day.
Amen.
So anyway, so Jackie, I'll finish about the book there real quickly here. So so now it's about a year later, God says, begin to write this. I went for about, I don't know, I'll say 6 months or so writing. And listen, as a, you know, if you do something long enough, your skill will get a little bit better. But I just began writing. So it's like, God, if you don't give me something, I'm in trouble. You know, I don't have anything here. So, I mean, it's just like I hit a wall. And that book sat there for 14 years. 14 years. And then in between, I wrote a bunch of other stuff, you know. And then including that other, the other book you said, it was Walking in the Light, I believe.
Yes, Walking in the Light.
Yeah, that's all about discipleship and the need and the insights, revelation God was giving me about discipleship, using some of my wife's things that she had learned in as a parent educator, which is very interesting. So we could be on that for a long time. But the Resurrected Bride. So I began to then, after about 14 years later, I think it was, I'll say in the beginning of 2019 or something like that, the Lord was like, okay, now I want you to finish this. So I got in there, and so he gave me like new things on top of the old things. The whole point of that book, though, the whole point is this. In all this, right after my wife had her stroke, the Lord gave me a promise. Hmm. And he said this, Jack. He said, my heart physically ached for the condition of my bride. That was my wife laying there. You know, they're telling me she's going to die. My wife's hurting. And as a husband, I couldn't do anything, but I had to commit her into the hands of the Lord, you know, which are pretty good hands, by the way. So this is what he said. He said to me in so many words, so my heart aches for the condition of my bride in this nation. Mm. But just like your bride, just like Shelley, I'm also going to resurrect her through difficult circumstances.
Wow.
Yes.
That's amazing.
Hallelujah. So we've been preaching this for, well, how many years now? It's been like 18 years now. And at first people are, you know, that just the condition of our nation. That's why we need this difficult circumstance to come around to resurrect, to awaken the sleeping bride. Mm. You know, people, they didn't listen too much, but I'll tell you what, recently they're listening a little bit more at this point in time because of the pressure that's beginning to be put on the church in America. Mm. Through what we are going through as a family, as a body in this nation here. So I tell you, our what we're about to see. Oh, Jackie, I'm telling you, I get a little excited because you know, I always say too, Jackie, I think, you know, people tell me, you know, they turn to Jesus and I'm thinking this overwhelming joy. Now it's all, you know, you go through things in your life, but it has never stopped since the day I turned. And I look at some people, I think, I don't know what you got, but I think you got ripped off, you know? So, because it's like, man, the joy of the Lord is my strength.
Yeah.
But it's being in his presence, right? Mm-hmm. Being in his presence. That's what you said in the intro. I want to be recognized as someone who's been with Jesus. Mm-hmm. Remember the disciples, they said they recognize him having been with Jesus.
Yes.
I want, you know, like his face shone when he was in the presence of God. We should be those people. We are Christ to this world. I mean, if we don't show Jesus, they're not going to see him. This is our responsibility. This is a representative government. You know, God, we represent the king. And so we represent him to this world. So if they're not seeing him, that's our fault. We have no one else to blame.
Yes. It's our fault. We have a responsibility. We're not here just to be saved for ourselves. Jesus commands, go out, make more disciples. Damn. And we have been slacking in that. So this resurrection that is about to happen, boy, we got to watch out.
Amen. Get your heart right. Right.
Yes.
Yeah. I want to say one more thing about that.
Sure.
My heart, there's so many things, Jackie, I'm alone a lot. And it's like, when I get an opportunity like this, it's like, sorry, sister, but you know, it just, and certain people draw it out. I'll just say that. So it's a spirit to spirit thing. But John chapter 2, you know, the wedding feast, right?
Mm-hmm.
Jesus' first miracle. If you remember, there were 6 stone water pots. It says it was for the Jewish custom of purification. Remember the vessels, right?
Yes.
They were empty vessels. 6 is the number of man. Mm-hmm. And I believe what God showed me was these represent consecrated vessels, vessels that have been emptied of themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happening right now. And what God puts into those, you know, what he pours in there is not going to be just for themselves. It's going to be that which will be poured out to those who will come to the wedding.
Yes.
So the vessels are being made ready. Everything is, the wedding feast. Everything is being made ready now. The bride is making herself ready. Oh, the bride. Pip, you gotta read the book. It's in here. The resurrected bride. There's so much about this bride. She's the one, you know, she's the center of attention. She's the one in a wedding day. There's a bridal party, but there's only one bride. She's the one that's taken the most care with what she is wearing, what she looks like, so that she's ready for her bridegroom. Oh, there are people in the body of Christ that have this heart. They're more concerned about their walk with God, about purity and holiness before him. They want to be that bride. They want to be that pure, spotless, that bride that's ready, like the wise virgins. So when the bridegroom comes, man, he opens up and says, come on, let's go. You know, so be encouraged, anybody. If somebody you're struggling out there, just keep going. So just draw near to the Lord while we have this time, because he has promised, if you'll draw near to me, I will draw near to you. So just keep going.
Amen.
Thank you for listening to part 2 of our 3-part series with author Tim Bauer. You heard his story about the resurrected bride and how it is a metaphor for what God wants to do for his people. Join us for part 3 as we talk about the unique way he is sharing the word of God with people in his community. We'll see you there.